We've all heard it before. It's who you know. Now, hear why it's so true. Welcome to Social Capital, the weekly podcast where we dive into social relationships and how the investment you put into them establishes trust, reciprocity, and value within your networking community. Your host, Lori Hybe, will connect with top professionals and dive into their best networking stories and techniques to share with you.
Hey everybody, Lori Hybe here. Welcome to the Social Capital Podcast. Our show notes are found at socialcapitalpodcast.com. You can also follow me on Twitter at LJ Hybe and on Facebook. This week's guest is Tamora Burkett. With a master's degree in organizational management, Tamora uses her experience in relationship building and systems development to teach others how to organize their communications to retain clients in a fresh and common sense way. Tamora believes by speaking differently to clients, intimate connections are made, resulting in a growing customer loyalty base and consistent referrals. Her passion for connection has led her to a life of self-discovery and curiosity. Tamora, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm honored to be here.
Well, I'm excited that you are a loyal listener of ours. So yes, this is really fun to have you on.
Yeah, I'm a fan, big fan.
Woohoo! Okay, so online, you refer to yourself as a customer loyalty architect.
Yes.
Explain what that is.
Well, I basically teach clients how to treat their clients better so that they can retain them and get consistent referrals. So we do that through organizing existing resources that they have and creating a system so that it's a no-brainer for them. They know how to communicate with their clients, when they should do it, and different content they should use to maintain that relationship.
So you're using things they've already created, just systematizing it.
Right. Yeah.
Really nice.
Yeah.
How did you develop a passion for connecting with others and helping people do this?
Well, when I was growing up, when I was younger, I really didn't value relationships. I didn't grow up in that type of family where we honored each other and we were very affectionate. We did things out of obligation. And it wasn't until I came of age and I met other people who were very affectionate and knew the value of relationships that I realized that this is a totally different world and I enjoyed it. And I was able to grow from that. Mm-hmm. And so from that experience, as I got into my profession, I worked in a lot of national nonprofits. I saw the importance of relationships and how to build those connections so that not only did our organization grow, but we got a lot of personal value out of it as well.
Okay.
And so looking at other businesses and seeing that there was this gap of getting new customers, earning new customers, but having a hard time retaining them, that customer loyalty was like that holy grail. And people were kind of figuring out, how do I get to that place? It's like, okay, I have that. I understand the skills you need to retain relationships. And I understand the value of how to do that in the process that it takes to get there.
Wow. I bet this is, I just can tell this is going to be a great conversation today. There's so much truth to that, right? Because it's harder to find a new customer than it is to retain a current one.
Yeah,
but absolutely. It seems like a lot of businesses put just so much emphasis on getting that new that they forget about the retention
absolutely.
Part.
Absolutely. It's sexy, right? To be able to advertise and have these social media ads and things and spend money on that. It's sexy to say that you can do that. But what's the conversion rate? What are you really getting out of that? And then you have this pool of people that already like you. They've already done business with you. They know you. And they're just sitting by the wayside just waiting like a, hello, I'm here. You know? So it's how do you pay more attention to those people and really give them value beyond that service or product that you're providing so that they can be your sales force?
Sure. Absolutely. So what is the biggest mistake that businesses are making, you think, in that spot?
Well, I believe businesses are talking to all their clients the same.
Okay.
that it's important that you have content where you are nurturing people and you're educating them. When you look at people and their behaviors, you can pretty much break them up into four distinct groups.
Okay.
You have directors who are pretty direct. They know what they want. You have social butterflies out there that really enjoy socializing and they know everyone.
Mm-hmm.
You have relators like me that are into relationships and how people feel. You have thinkers, and they all need something different in order for them to say yes or to stick with you.
Okay.
And so when you look at those groups and you look at where they are in your client base, a lot of times businesses forget that and they just put things out there from their perspective of what they think their clients need and what they're looking for. And that's not necessarily the case.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for something different. So to be able to dive into that with their customer support and identify what their needs are and addressing them in the way that fits those behaviors is when you'll see a lot more conversion of your existing clients staying with you instead of just walking out the door and finding someone else.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, you're giving me warm and fuzzies. Like just hearing this, like, this totally makes sense. So how does self-awareness improve one's ability to network, nurture those relationships?
Yeah. Well, it's about knowing who you are and being comfortable in your own skin. And when you're able to do that, you think about yourself less and you're able to be in the moment and relate to people and actually listen to them and be able to relate to them a lot better. Networking, I like to think of, is a journey that you evolve. You when you first start networking, especially if you're an introvert, it can be kind of clumsy and awkward and things, and that's going to happen. That's going to happen no matter what.
Yep.
As you continue that, you discover different things about other people and about yourself and find that just learning about other people is fascinating. That one-on-one interaction is a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
It takes you to really look into yourself and reflect on those things and notice things about yourself so that you're comfortable when you're out there networking, you're confident, you already know who you are and what you're looking for so that you can be in the moment.
Sure, which is really important.
Yeah.
Being present is very important.
Absolutely.
So, Tamara, my goal with this show is to remove that fear that people have with networking.
Absolutely.
Can you share with our listeners your most successful or favorite networking story that you've got?
Oh, sure. So when I first began my networking life, I went through Meetup and I went to a couple of those events. And there was one in particular. It was Wisconsin Business Owners. And I was very nervous about it because I pictured it as this meeting with everyone, all these suits and very formal people, and worried about whether or not I'll fit in. So I'm just thinking to myself, okay, I need to be prim and proper and all these things. And as I walked up to the hotel, there were a couple of guys standing outside and they're just taking a break, very leisure. And they acknowledged me and greeted me like, hi, you must be here for the networking event. It's over here and da, da, da. And just the way they greeted me, I got the warm feeling that this is going to be fun.
Oh my goodness.
So I walked in and there was another hostess and she greeted me and asked me if it was my first time. And she actually introduced me to a few other people there. And they really made me feel welcomed and put me at ease about my ability to connect with people there.
Cool.
And everyone there, they were very friendly. And it was such a good time for me because, one, the networking time was limited.
Mm-hmm.
And then we were able to have lunch and we had a presenter. So it wasn't just the full focus of networking that whole time. That took a lot of pressure off of me.
Sure, yep.
And so I came back and there were other people that I was introduced to and they were all very welcoming. And I stuck with that networking group. And to this day, I've gotten so much value out of the group. And it's not just me growing my business and getting clients. It's having that opportunity to to partner with other people
sure.
and growing and learning about different things in the business so that I can grow my skills and personal development as well.
So it sounds like you attended a number of different groups until you found the one that
yes.
kind of fit you
right.
and you found the right people for you to
absolutely
to surround yourselves with.
Yeah, to fit in with. Yeah.
Good. And it's paid rewards in a number of different paths. It
absolutely.
Like
landed me here.
Exactly. Thank you, Stacy.
Absolutely.
So what do you do to stay in front of or best nurture your network?
I create opportunities to show up in people's worlds.
Okay.
So, and I do it in a variety of ways. Social media is a great way to stay in front of people. When it comes to my inner circle, I like to be more personal, whereas phone calls, I like to pay attention on social media to different events that other people I know will be attending or is interesting in attending. And I'll show up to those events as well.
Mm-hmm.
So just trying to create those unique opportunities where it's not always just social media posting, but there are different events and
yep.
conferences and things as well.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So being present a little bit.
Absolutely.
But I like how you phrase that you create the opportunities to show up in people's world.
Yeah, like poof, I'm here.
It's magic.
Right.
What advice would you offer the business professional who is looking to grow their network?
Well, there are a lot of different options out there. What I enjoy doing is really going deeper with my network and deepening my relationships with them, especially those who I really enjoy and I value, because chances are they hang around a lot of people that are like them as well, and I'll be introduced to them eventually.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there's been a lot of opportunities for that to happen, and again, it leads to other doors and other groups, and so that's what I'd like to do. If a person would like to start like a totally different network beyond the one that they have, I enjoy going to different network groups and also different like social groups.
Mm-hmm.
So Meetup for me is a great way to find different hobby groups. And for anyone who's starting out and they're intimidated by the thought of networking, really get involved in groups that you really enjoy, the hobbies, the book clubs. Those are really easy ways to start practicing those social skills to build up that courage to go over into the business networking.
That's really good advice, because
mm-hmm.
it is scary, right?
Yeah.
Or it can be, right?
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be scary, but
no.
Find something that's non-businessy that you're passionate about.
Right.
So that it's easier to connect with someone
right.
on a similar topic.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about what to say, right? Because
you already know.
You already
so
know. This is your
about
happy.
It. We're
yeah.
going to talk about
yeah.
this.
Yeah, you can just geek out on whatever it is you enjoy.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah.
Which is fun.
It is.
So
it's a lot
networking
of fun.
Can be fun.
It can be.
It that's I like the advice that you're offering here, because it really should be fun, honestly.
Yeah, it should be. Yeah.
You've spoken a lot about that traditional networking, which
mm-hmm.
is that in going to events and
mm-hmm.
having conversations with people in person.
Mm-hmm.
And before the show, you kind of shared with me that you've got someone helping you with your digital activities right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, absolutely.
So obviously you find value in it, but
mm-hmm.
I'm curious, which one do you find more value in, digital networking or traditional networking?
Oh, I do find more value in traditional networking. I see the value and understand the value in digital networking. I look at digital networking as kind of like the appetizer
mm-hmm.
when it comes to building relationships.
Okay.
It's a place I go to find more information about people and just to send out posts to let people know I'm still here, or to send encouragement to a wider audience. So it's really about visibility, building credibility, things of that nature for me. If you're searching for me, this is where you can find me. Uh-huh. When it comes to building relationships and really going deep, I like the personal, the traditional networking piece, because I can get more from an interaction with someone face-to-face or on the phone or Zoom chat. It seems more personal for me. I'm able to pick up on different nuances as we're talking and things of that nature. And I get a lot of enjoyment, a lot of energy from going out and just meeting people.
Yeah.
That really brightens my day.
No, that's I really like how you use the analogy of digital networking as the appetizer, which makes sense, right? Uh-huh. It's just here's a little teaser mm-hmm. to what the main course is going to be.
Right. Now you get to meet me.
Yeah.
And that's awesome. Yeah.
The face-to-face is always my favorite.
Yeah.
And technology has really advanced to allow us to have those conversations face to face, even though someone's across the country. Right.
Zoom chat is so much fun.
Oh, I love it.
I enjoy doing that. Yeah.
It is fun. And it's interesting just because so many of my guests have mentioned Zoom.
Yeah.
You know, and we've been using it for a few years now, but it seems to be the preferred choice for video conferencing.
Yeah.
And it's fairly inexpensive.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
They should give me some royalties for promoting them.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Okay, Tamara, if you could go back to your 20-year-old self, what would you tell yourself to do more of, less of, or differently with regards to your professional career?
Oh, goodness. I was a hot mess in my 20s. Hot mess in my 20s. I just, when I think about when being young and in my 20s, I think about a woman that's lost, that really don't know that she's lost and trying to find her way and just grabbing on to anything that seemed like the truth or made sense or felt good at the time. And so what I would tell my younger self is to do more self-care, take time to really to get to know me and what my likes are and dislikes and create those boundaries so that you don't absorb so much pain. There are some things, situations that I went through at a younger age that could have been totally avoided if I had boundaries, if I didn't ask for permission. You know, when you're a young adult, it's like the world is your oyster. You can do anything you want. And sometimes you have the tendency to forget that, you know what, you need some boundaries to protect yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I did not have all of those in place.
Okay.
So to really do that, do the work of self-development, of getting to know myself, and to go to those deep places, those dark places, and to really heal from that, that would definitely be something I would tell myself. And
that's really interesting, and it's piquing my interest a little bit here, because I think that a lot of individuals have a hard time figuring out who they are.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
And it sometimes people never figure that out.
Right.
So I think it's just interesting that's the self-reflection and that you're doing right now is to put more investment in yourself earlier on.
Absolutely.
Really good advice. Hopefully some 20-year-old out there is listening and is going to take the next step to pay attention to themselves a little bit.
Yes, absolutely. It's needed.
It is, mm-hmm. especially in today's crazy world that we live
right.
in.
Absolutely.
Okay. We've all heard of the 6 degrees of separation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, who would be the one person you'd love to connect with,
mm-hmm.
and do you think you can do it within the 6th degree?
Okay, so I have a couple people. I have one for the now, and that would be Kamanzi Constable. He is a local business consultant. I follow him on Facebook, and what I really admire about him is that he shares his story. He's very transparent. He leaves himself vulnerable, but at the same time, it's he exudes this strength, even when he's telling the most vulnerable story about his past life. It's like, wow, you're just so strong. And how he's able to transition from sharing his story to offering really sound advice in consulting is just, I really enjoy it. He's very transparent, very authentic, and unapologetic about who he is. And so I would love to meet him. I know a couple of people that know him, so I can definitely do it within the first degree of my network. And so that's, right now, that's the goal, that's the picture of, just to meet Kamanzi.
So why don't you just make it happen then?
I know, I need to make it happen.
You knew I was going to ask that, come on.
Well, a couple of things. I vision myself being in a place where I can offer him value.
Okay.
And maybe by me admiring him and paying attention to his style, that would be value enough. Who knows? Mm-hmm. But I would like to come with some wisdom for him as well.
I'm sure so perspective is always wisdom.
Yeah, right? I do. I know. I'm waiting in the wings until then. I'm giving myself just a little time. I say by the summertime.
Okay.
Because he's a very busy guy. Like every time I turn around, he's somewhere overseas.
Okay.
Africa somewhere. So, yeah. Oh, and then the other person would be Cicely Tyson. And the reason I'd love to meet Cicely Tyson is because there's so much wisdom there. She was friends with Maya Angelou. She knows all these people. And I would just love to just sit and listen to stories from her childhood, from her career, her early career as an actress, and her take on the world today. I would just love to just be a fly on the wall and listen to her, really. Yeah.
Okay. Well, thank you so much for sharing those. And I'm going to challenge you to report back to us when you connect with, is it Kanzumi? Am I saying that right?
Kamanzi.
Kamanzi.
Yes.
Kamanzi. Okay. Because it sounds like it's very easy for you to actually make that connection.
Right. I could at any time. Yeah. I just don't want to approach him and be like the novice or the little rookie fan. Like, oh my gosh. You know. So that's why I'm just waiting in the wings a little bit before
I
make that connection.
Well, maybe we'll tag him on social media and he'll reach out to you.
Right. We'll see if that
happens. Okay. So as an entrepreneur, you know, we're constantly learning new things. And you spoke to that. And, you know, what is meeting new people and reading is probably one of the top things out there. And I'm always interested what book my guests are reading right now.
So I finished reading Brené Brown's book, Braving the Wilderness.
Okay.
And that's a very powerful book for me because it talks about belonging, and she uses personal stories and her own research to really explain that whole concept of belonging and the need for everyone to belong and how we could share these collective experiences so that no matter where we go, we belong. We belong to ourselves. We belong nowhere. And we're okay with that, just being accepting of ourselves. So I really enjoyed that book and recommend that to anyone to read.
Nice. Mm-hmm. It sounds really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a good book.
Belonging is definitely something that I think a lot of people have challenges with to some degree. And Braving the Wilderness. Okay. Yeah. I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, it's a quick read too. So
I like quick reads.
All right.
Tamara, any final word or advice to offer our listeners with regards to growing and supporting your network?
Well, I think of networking as simply as making friends. It can be as simple as that. And a lot of times people have expectations when they're networking of getting value of it out of it and getting more sales. And when you open yourself up and approach it as just making friends and look at it as relationships are this, that's the spice of life. When people are near death, I hate to go there, but when they're near death, that's what people think of. They think about the relationships that they have. They think about their loved ones, and that's what makes life worth living. Mm-hmm. So when you think about network, it doesn't always have to be about business. It's really about making lasting relationships. Mm-hmm. And when you approach it in that way, you get value beyond new clients, beyond all those things, because it's really about improving your life.
Yep.
And making life worth living.
Yeah, absolutely. It is about the relationship, right?
It's
who you know. And I like that statement, relationships are the spice of life.
Yeah, absolutely.
Tamara, if anyone is interested in getting in contact with you, what is the best way that they can reach you?
LinkedIn will be the best way to reach me.
All right. And we will include that link in our show notes.
Awesome. Thank you, Lori.
Thank you for being on the show with me today.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
It was fun. It went really fast, too.
No, like, wait a minute, rewind it.
This wraps up our episode of Social Capital. A huge thank you to Tamara for taking the time to connect with us. Join us next week for another great guest as we continue the conversation on networking and building your community. If you need me, send an email to lori@socialcapitalpodcast.com. Otherwise, we'll see you next week.
That's all for this episode of the Social Capital Podcast. Be sure to visit socialcapitalpodcast.com for show notes, more episodes, and to check out our free ebooks on business and networking.